Evening, Dora, Diane, Tonita, and the rest of you. Let's see, I should turn the volume on so people can hear us on the in the interweb. All right, good evening, Facebook. We have a viewer. I don't know who it is. I don't know where they are, but they are viewing, and we welcome you. Thankful you're here. All right, I have a verse we can talk about for a few minutes, and then we'll see where we go from there. All right, on this Sunday evening, there's only one more church service left in 2021. Isn't that incredible? In 2021, woo, hallelujah! Remember when 2020 was ending, and we're like, man, I can't wait for 2021 to get here. Are you sure about that? It's so, but we're alive, right? We're, hallelujah, we're doing well. So, okay, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the body of Christ, and we just pray for anybody who's sick or battling anything right now. Just ask that you would give their body strength to fight it. And thank you for the promises that you give us and the way that you give us to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, we were up to 4, and now we're down to 3 viewers. Somebody bailed. Ta-da. So. Okay, open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And thinking about what we have in our life, what we have with Christ, it's incredible that we have been saved. Right? We put our faith in Him, we are saved. And now we live our life in a different way. Right? So many of the lines from the play just stick out in my mind. Right? I love when we do plays. Because then, like, they remember this past Easter, we didn't have the Easter cantata, but one message we preached, it was basically, I just kept saying from the play. Like, when we do these things, it puts a picture in our mind of a biblical thing, and it's I think it's so good. But, yeah, what was I going to say? Yeah, what we do have, anyway, forgot what it was. Forgot what the line from the play was that I was just about to quote. I sidetracked myself, which isn't hard to do, I guess. Yeah, we're saved, we're delivered, but then we're living this life. Right? We live this life, and how do we live it? That I don't just understand things the way that I used to, but now I have a whole new way of seeing life and a whole new way of understanding things. Oh, there it is. Got it. It says that at one point it says God's people were made to be different, right? We're talking about Moses and the law. It said God's people were made to be different. And I like that so much, that we as believers are different. I don't know if you've noticed that or felt that, but we're different. We think differently. We see things differently. And it's not because of how we think, but it's because of who leads us. It's because of how we see things, right? And I mean, what I mean, not by how we think, but I mean personally. It's not about my way of thinking, but it's about Christ teaching us how to think. And that happens by the Holy Spirit. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there's a conversation about wisdom, where he's talking about understanding things. And we can start in verse 6. It says, "We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." Okay, so there's the difference. Not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, because those are coming to nothing. The wisdom in the world will expire at some point. Right? We know. We've read the book of Revelation, or you've read the book of Daniel. Isn't Daniel? How many people have read Daniel recently? Whoa, man, hallelujah. or ever. Ever? You read Daniel ever? Yeah, okay, there we go. The Daigles gave us the DVD, the Book of Daniel, for Christmas, and I'm curious how that becomes a movie. That's got to be some wild scenes. But this world is coming to nothing. It is. And everything that's in it will find itself less than Christ. All right, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Right. That's a great verse, isn't it? How many people have quoted it? You've maybe quoted it to somebody, right? But also you've meditated on it, and you said, that's incredible. Yeah, I have not, the eye hasn't seen it, the ear hasn't heard it, but even the idea hasn't entered into my heart. That what God has prepared for us in eternity, what God has prepared for us in time, hasn't entered our heart. Like a lot, have you ever prayed and you've presented options to God? Say, Lord, this is what I need. Here, you could do it this way, you could do it this way, you could do it this way. I figured it all out. Ironed out the details. Here's the portfolio. Just let me know which plan we're going with, and I'll know exactly what to do. But actually, he works in ways, and things happen in our life that we have no idea of. And it's amazing. And eternity will be that way, that he has prepared us for it, but really there's things that we don't know about. Right? Like we talked about in our last Hebrews class, that there's a lot in the Bible that's a mystery. Right? There's so many things in the Bible that we could say, I wish you would spend a little more time on that, Paul. Or Moses, can you explain how you remembered all that stuff on the mountain? How did you come down and remember all those 10,000 rules? Right? Like there are things in the Bible, the angels, can you please explain what's going on with the angels, how many there are, how much of my daily life do the angels have to do with? Or whatever, we would love to know these things. Where's the Ark of the Covenant? Indiana Jones just spent his whole life dedicated to it. There are things we would love to know. But it's not for us to know. But the things that he has prepared for us, those are the things that we have to know. And that's what we need. And the things that he has for us are revealed. Revealed. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That the Holy Spirit is how I am different. Through the Holy Spirit, like I become the temple of God because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me. I become a representative of Christ because the Holy Spirit is leading me. The Holy Spirit makes the difference, right? He changes the lenses that I see through. Like Paul in Acts chapter 9 has a different view of things, doesn't he? He goes blind for a few days, and then the scales fall off his eyes. He's different. He's a different person. Remember what was our name for Paul in Acts chapter 9? Transition Paul. Spaul, right? Spaul. He's transitioning, right? He hasn't become Paul yet. He's Spaul. But that difference is by the Holy Spirit. And revelation is how I want to live my life. I want to know God, and I want to worship God, not based on what I can figure out, but I want to worship him based on what he has revealed to me. And that revelation can overcome a lot of things. I was thinking about our play this week and just how pleased that was. I was so happy. It was so much fun. And even one night, I'll be honest, I was sitting back and looking, and I was like, man, that's a lot of like cardboard and paper and stickers. And I was like, it'd be nice if we could have. And I was like, you know what? No, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. Like the highest budget item in our play was pizza. No joke. That is not a joke. That is not an exaggeration. The whole thing ran on volunteers and people just gave their time. Right? He came up with an idea. Someone found an old bed sheet and they said, oh, I can make a costume. Carla was in the mother's room just sewing costumes for days, right? Like that is beautiful, I think. And I think that is something that God gives. And we could look at it, we could say, well, we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have ba 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 ba. Or we can say, God's given us something. Let's do it. And we do it by faith, and God has a beautiful result. So this revelation is everything for us. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? It's a good question. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Right? This is something that we can say when we talk to people. They say, I don't know what you're talking about. We say, of course you don't. You don't have the Holy Spirit. Like, there is a need for salvation. If you want to know the things of God, then the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches them. Right? Like, salvation isn't something that I say, okay, Lord, you know, show me everything and I'll make my conclusion. I'll come up to my decision. Salvation is that God says, I have offered salvation. Do you believe? And when we believe, our whole life is now spent discovering what that means. Right? So, but here's the verse. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. What's the spirit of the world? James talks about it in James chapter 3. He says the wisdom of the world is earthly, soulish, and devilish, right? So it's carnal, it's motivated by the natural senses, and it's inspired like by demons, actually. That's the wisdom of the world. That's going to expire, and that's not what we have received. Thankfully, we haven't received something that is going to expire, but instead, we have received but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. All right? So God saves us, and then he says, okay, you are saved. And we say, what does that mean? And he says, okay, I'll tell you. Your entire life, I'll tell you what that means. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Right? He is shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts. And what that means is that there could be things we don't understand, right? Oh, look at this beautiful artwork. Sorry, kid. Like, oh, how about we'll explain it this way? Have you ever seen a pothole? Yeah, okay. Winter in Massachusetts, we've seen a few potholes, right? So there is a discrepancy there, meaning there is a void. There is something missing from that spot. Come on in, Mark. Don't be bashful. You never have been. Don't start now. Right? So that's a discrepancy, right? And that is a pocket. So the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, meaning it comes and it fills up all those discrepancies. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is doing that. And he is filling up the voids in my life with his love and with this wisdom and with this understanding. Where I can say, I don't know what that means. And he comes and he reveals it to me. And it fills up that space. And it that's my life. My life is spent by the Holy Spirit filling up my heart with the wisdom of God. I just looked at Eric to see if we had the same sweatshirt on. It's a little different. Mine has buttons. His has a zipper. But isn't that amazing? Right? Like, in essence, this verse is saying, and also Romans 5:5 is saying, that the Holy Spirit is given to us so he can help us unpack our salvation throughout the rest of our life. Where we're here in this world and we say, like, I don't understand. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and he says, I do. Right? That's verse 11. That's what man knows the things except the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Right? We can say, God, what are you doing? And he says, I know. He says, Deuteronomy 29:29, he says, the secret things belong to me, but the things that I reveal to you, those things are mine, are yours, and they are yours forever from generation to generation. So take it serious. You have the Holy Spirit. He makes you different. You are anointed in this world, and you have wisdom that is from somewhere else. Because like James 3 says, the wisdom from below is one way, but also the wisdom from above is a different way. That is different. We have wisdom from above, and we are not limited to the earthly, soulish, and devilish things. We are delivered from them and actually free to live in a different way. So that verse, 1 Corinthians 2:12, is a good memory verse or a good one to meditate on, that we have the Spirit of God so that we might know. Could I know without the Holy Spirit? No, I wouldn't know. Why? Because it's not a natural thing. It's not an equation that I can just figure out. It's a mystery. It's an eternal thought. It's the love of God that's not based on the way we love or the way we value, but it's different. So we have that. We have it. Don't doubt it. Have you ever felt that way, that you feel you're going through the day, say, I don't even know if I have any witness of God in my life? Right? I have no motivation. I have no spiritual thinking. I have no spark. Right? What do we do at that point? What do? You make a statement by faith, and you say, I have the Spirit of God that I might know the things that He has freely given me. That's a faith statement. Because where do you find it? Like, you don't pull out the wallet and say, oh, there it is, right? It's not a material thing. You don't look through the phone and find it. It's a statement of faith. And when we agree with Him by faith, then things start to happen, right? And we start to build our vocabulary in a different way. We start to change the way we see things. We start to value things differently. And that happens by the Holy Spirit and by the wisdom that's from above. So, yeah. And then finally, there's verse 14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So that's saying, so the natural man could look at the spiritual life and say that spiritual person's a fool, right? He is foolish. But also, we could look at it this way, that we come to conclusions based on faith. We do. We move places because God has called us, or we go on a mission, the mission field, because God has told us, or we serve people a certain way because God has revealed it to us, right? But people could look at that in us and they could say, they can't come to the same conclusion. They come to a different conclusion because they don't have the same way of thinking. So, but it's okay. It's okay. Just because people don't understand it doesn't mean they're not curious, right? It's actually a good thing. It's different. And then verse 15, he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There it is. Amen? Isn't that an encouraging verse? Verse 12. We read all of those verses just so we could read the one verse. But that's the way the Bible works. So so we can do it. We got Estevan is here, Carlos is here, Elijah's here, Juan is here, Olivia's here. They could all come up and teach us something. Huh? Isn't that a good idea? Should we start with Olivia? No. See, she just taught us something right there. She just taught us kindness and self-control. So, but maybe, do you guys, anybody have any questions or comments about that? About our what we have by faith, or what difference we have? My watch is encouraging me to go for a walk. Yeah, it's time to move. Yeah. Anybody? That statement that by faith, right? Like Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? So to be Spirit-filled, how do we do that? Anybody have a comment on how do we become Spirit-filled? Or what does that mean? Maybe. Yes. On top.
Don't let the world control you.
Don't let the world control you.
Control you, and when you have Christ in your life, that's the most important thing. That's your shield. That's your protection.
Amen.
And like I said, I know, I'll admit, at times I can be the most insecure person in the world. But then I realize I have Christ in my life, and then I snap out of it and say, there's no need for me to be insecure. I have Christ in my life, and that's the most important thing I need to
Amen.
Survive each and every day.
That's a great statement of faith, isn't it?
It's a
agreeing with what God has told you, right? That you have Christ. And you could say, we could say it's easy to be a victim, isn't it?
It's true.
It's easy to be a victim, but then instead we say, no, I have overcome, right? I'm victorious. And I'm not saying, you know, there's things, but I'm just saying in our spiritual life, I don't want to be held down by anything. I am victorious. So that's great. Spirit-filled. How about Steve? You want to come up and talk to us about what it means to be spirit-filled? Yeah.
I don't have any
John 14:27. Yeah. Yeah, John 14:15-16 talks about the comforter, right? Oh, yeah, 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Right? No, that's it. It's in the ballpark. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's 27. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Isn't it interesting how many times he tells us this about the Holy Spirit and about how he will come, he will teach us, he will comfort us, don't be afraid. Thankfully, he says it more than once. Why does he say it more than once? Yeah, because we're afraid. Simple, right? We need confirmation. We need it repeatedly said to us. Repeatedly. Like, have you ever... Let's see, maybe studied something or read something or prayed about something and you were like, that's amazing. That's an amazing promise. And then immediately the next day it's tested or something. Like that happens with me. I'll preach something. I'll say, by faith, we overcome by faith. And then the next day I have like a little trial. I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. Right? And I'm like, oh, wait, I preached a message about this. Right? Oh, but we could pray that way. Lord, would you... Oh, this morning, actually, we had a conversation with two people, and we prayed for the guy. He was traveling somewhere. We prayed, and then another gentleman said, let's pray that his job would become more exciting. And the guy said, whoa. I don't know necessarily if I want that, because it could be a different kind of excitement than what I'm thinking about, right? Like, we pray sometimes, and God answers, and we say, what is going on? And he said, this is what you prayed for. We could say, well, this isn't exactly what I had in mind. And he says, well, this is what I have for you. And we can make it. Right? So, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what they're saying. It's a statement of faith. It might not be. It's not like I make a decision and say, okay, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I feel like, brrr, bing, full, right? It might not be that way. But it could be that I say, okay, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And what is that? Okay, what does that mean? Does it mean that the Holy Spirit leaves me and then he fills me, leaves me and fills me? Yeah?
No.
Leaves me? Okay, you're saying yes, so I was just checking. Right? Like, do I say, okay, Lord, fill me and he comes back? No, it's like Mark said, that then I allow him to lead. And that he takes over. No? Oh, okay. You just shook your head. No, I wasn't sure. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No. So I have the Holy Spirit, right? Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30. They both say you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. 1:13 says you have believed, and as a result of your believing, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Who, and then verse 14 says, who is the down payment or the guarantee of our inheritance. Right? So that is ours. It is given to us. The Holy Spirit is given to us as like the substance of our salvation, right? Of our eventual redemption. Actually, let's turn there. This is a good verse. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? So having believed, what is the result of believing in this case? That the result of believing is that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Right? So that sealing doesn't go away. What is it? What is a seal? How could we talk about a seal? Right? Not the creature, not the mammal. But think about a seal around a door. We could think of it that way. That when you close a door that's exposed to the weather, there's a little gasket all the way around, and then a little rubber sweep at the bottom. And you close it, and it is sealed, meaning that nothing can penetrate that seal. Right? Nothing can come in, but also nothing else can go out. Right? So it seals it. It's airtight. Or you could have like the windows at my house that have no seal, and the wind comes and goes. The cold air comes in, the hot air goes out. It's beautiful. I like to warm the bushes up in the front yard just in case they get cold in the winter. But another way it is that we are sealed is that there is a mark on us. Like the seal, like there would be a letter that would be sent, and then the wax seal would be put on it, and that signifies the authority of who is sending the letter, right? And that seal makes a statement to me that I know who I belong to, but it also makes a statement to the spiritual world, like the Ephesians 6 spiritual darkness and principalities and powers. They see that seal on me, and they know whose I am, that I belong to somebody, right? So that seal is important. First, it is closed. It is a completed thing, but then also it is a statement. So that sealing of the Holy Spirit is once and for all. It's not like I'd stop paying attention and then it's unsealed, right? Sealed, sealed, unsealed, unsealed, sealed. It's like, it's terrifying. Remember our example of, we used it as an example, if you could lose the Holy Spirit, it's like the pack of socks on the clearance rack at Marshall's. It's been like returned 3 times. It's duct taped together, and there's like 2 socks missing. Right? You got an odd number, right? Like that kind of. That's not the way our life is with the Holy Spirit. Right? It's okay. It'll end soon enough. But we have this seal, and it is a permanent thing. But then, and that is all the way. So then, verse 14: Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? To the praise of his glory. The redemption of the purchased possession means when we are in heaven. The end. Right? When we are finally redeemed and we are complete. And there's no mystery, there's no question. We are there beholding the thing that was never entered into our heart. Right? But until then, we are sealed to the Holy Spirit of promise. And the guarantee, he is the guarantee. Or in the King James, it says the earnest of our inheritance. Love it. My grandfather's name was Ernest, so it always made me think of him. The earnest of our inheritance, meaning the guarantee. And the guarantee is not anything less than what it is. God is given to us in the Holy Spirit. And it's not like a token, right? It's not, oh, perfect. It's not like he gives us this and says, here's a giraffe. We say, no, that is actually an eraser. It's not a giraffe. And he says, well, it looks like a giraffe, so hold on to this until you're redeemed. No, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God, and we have him until we are brought home to glory. Right, so well, that's an amazing promise. But now comes the application. Like, so the filling of the Holy Spirit is when I allow him to lead me. Right? I have the option. I could go by my own wisdom, or I could go by the wisdom that is given to me by the Holy Spirit. So I could be faced with a difficult thing, and I could say, Lord, please fill me with your Spirit for the decision I have to make. Or in my day, my normal day, like this prayer, there could be 2 things. You get up in the morning, the first thing you say, thank you that I am crucified with Christ, right? The old man is not in authority today. Hallelujah. I'm crucified. Recognize that. And then, Lord, will you fill me with your Spirit? Like, those are two great prayers in the morning. Because now I step into my day leaning on and listening for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not just to do whatever I would like. And this could bring my day in a different way. I still do the same things, right? I get up, I make my bagel, I make my coffee, whatever it is. I go to work, I go to school, I do whatever I have to do. But my lens, the way I see things is differently. The way I respond to situations is different because I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me. Someone could say something, it could make, like you could feel the heat rising in your head. You say, right? But you say, oh, Holy Lord, I'm filled with the Spirit, and He gives me a self-control. Right? Galatians 5, that's a fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. Right? Patience, long-suffering. So this is what it means. And so all that to say, it is done by faith. I pray it, I believe it, I say, oh, fill me with your Spirit. Like Nehemiah did that, didn't he? When the king said to him, why are you sad? Did you drink something bad? He's the cupbearer of the king, right? So whatever was served to the king, Nehemiah would try first. And the king would just look at him for like 5 minutes. And if he fell over, he'd say, I'm not going to eat that. But if he was all right, he'd eat it. And Nehemiah said, I was never sad in his presence. Imagine that. Nehemiah must have been like an unbelievable character, right? I was never sad in his presence. I was in exile. Like, I was dragged away from my people. I'm in exile, but he's happy somehow. It's amazing. And then he goes and he has that attitude towards Jerusalem that's unbelievable. But he says, I was sad. So the king said to me, what's wrong? What's wrong? How did he answer? He prayed first. He said, oh, Lord, how should I answer him? And I don't think it was a long prayer meeting. I think it was just a quick, like, consulting with God. Isn't that a great example for us? That's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Someone asks you a question, you say, Lord, I don't know how to answer. And God, as you are answering, God could be giving you the answer. And you say, whoa, that was a miracle. That was God, right? So this is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So as I approach my day, as I approach my Bible, isn't it amazing to think that as I open the Bible, it could be led by the Holy Spirit, right? As I approach the pulpit, it could be led by the Holy Spirit, right? Need to be. But we could say a lot about that, right? We want to be prepared, don't we? Yeah, we want to be as prepared as possible. God is faithful. He is faithful. But imagine, like, it could be that a preacher approaches the pulpit and says, well, God, you're always faithful, so ready for it again. Haven't read in 2 weeks. Haven't studied, haven't prayed, but I depend on you. And you could sit down and say, Lord, that was a miracle. And it could be that it was a miracle because you weren't prepared at all. But how much better could it be if you are prepared, right? Like, it could be, you could say, whew. But it sounded good to you because you had no idea what you were going to say. But it could be that it doesn't sound that great to people because it sounds like you didn't know what you were going to say. And you're surprised that you said anything and they're disappointed you said nothing. You know what I mean? Like, how about we, like, raise the standard a little bit and we say, I've got something. Or it could be that I have three messages in my heart. Lord, will you help me pick which one? Or you lead the one that it should be. And each one of them could be fantastic. But you want the Lord to deliver the one that He wants to deliver, right? So I think that's an interesting conversation to have.
So.
Yes. Yeah, so the difference, like Paul talks about it, like the mystery that was hidden. The mystery that was hidden was that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So yeah, Acts 2, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends, and that's the first time he indwells a group of people, right? And that's 1 Corinthians 12, like the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're all baptized into one body. And that baptism is the Holy Spirit. So Acts 2 is what inaugurated the church, being a group of people who were all filled with the Holy, or sealed with the Holy Spirit. But yeah, you see, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is like on people. It says he left Saul, remember? The Spirit of God left Saul. So David would come and play the harp for him. But we also believe Saul was saved. So, but then there's a guy named Bezalel in the book of Exodus. Remember Bezalel? It says that the Holy Spirit was on him he was like the project manager of the tabernacle. But he knew how to do metal work, woodwork, textile work, because the Holy Spirit gave him that. Yeah, right? Yeah, so. Yeah, that's, so we see it. Actually, the Holy Spirit's in the very first part of the Bible, right? The Spirit was hovering over the deep. And then he's in the very end. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit's always present, but it's different. In the New Testament, it's indwelling, right? It's like we just read in Ephesians 1. Yeah. And we sang it this morning, didn't we? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Right. Steve-O was on point. He knew what we were doing tonight. Where are you? Should we put this little giraffe right there? Looking right at you. Yeah. So that's a great, we can have that. Every one of us can be Spirit-filled. There's no, if you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and it could be that you were Spirit-filled. Expect it, right? Depend on it. Right? Say, like, I'm gonna move forward in this by faith. Livy? Yeah, see? Got the approval. Any other comments or questions or anything? Yes, Steve.
So in Galatians 5, like you mentioned, where it talks about the Spirit, I just noticed in 25 where it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I just thought about the implication of the verse is basically that we could be with the Spirit but not walking in it. And then then the verses before describe what it's like to walk in the Spirit, like you said, which is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And the idea is, like, it's a good way to check ourselves, I feel like, this verse. It's when you're thinking, like, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I being Spirit-filled in my life? You look at this and you, like, read through this. Am I joyful? Am I loving? Am I peaceful? Am I long-suffering? Am I gentle? Am I in goodness? And do I have faith towards the Lord, God, and everything I do? Mm-hmm. And then that's a good way to check if you're being Spirit-filled in your life. Because mm-hmm. It could be that we're in the Spirit because we're saved, and we have that seal of salvation in us that can never be taken away from us. But at the same time, we're not walking in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then also, verse 26, where it says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And my thought was, I feel like whether we're living in the Spirit or in the flesh, the idea is we're always trying to glorify something. We're either going to be glorifying ourselves in the flesh or glorifying God in the Spirit. So when we're being led by the Spirit, we're trying to glorify God. When we're being led in the flesh, we can check ourselves and we're like, am I doing even things of the Spirit? Am I being joyful, peaceful, long-suffering, and gentle to glorify myself or to glorify God? So that's another way to check our spirits. So, am I being led by the Spirit to glorify myself or God? If I'm doing this to glorify God, then I'm walking in the Spirit. If it's for myself, then I'm in the flesh.